It's time for Fresh Oil with singer-songwriter and pastor Keith Manley, a program designed to minister the gospel of God's grace and to bring fresh oil to the brokenhearted. And now, with today's program, Pastor Keith Manley.
Hello, neighbor. Welcome to the Monday edition of Fresh Oil. I'm your host, Keith Manley, and this week on Fresh Oil, I'm going to begin a verse-by-verse teaching from the book of Philippians. I love teaching verse-by-verse, line upon line, precept upon precept, just the way God intended for us to read it, the way He intended for us to learn it, by hearing it verse-by-verse. Now, the book of Philippians is actually a letter Paul wrote to a church that he started, and he said this in Philippians 1, and verse 1, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers and the deacons. Now, in our day, we sign the letter at the end of the letter. But in Paul's time, they actually began by identifying the author. And so he put his name at the very beginning. And then he referred to himself in a very unique way. He said, we're bondservants of Christ Jesus. Now, David made a statement to God in the beautiful Psalm, Psalm 40. He said, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and he heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit and out of the mud and mire, and he set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand and put a new song in my mouth. And then in verse 6, he said this, sacrifice and offerings you did not desire, but my ears you have pierced. Did you ever wonder where the concept of piercing the ears began? It actually began with God, back in the book of Exodus, chapter 21, when a slave would work off his debt, and it came time for him to be set free. If he loved his master so much and he wanted to stay with him for life, he would go to the door, and the master would pierce his ear, and then he would become his servant for life. So the pierced ear was actually a symbol that he was a servant for life. Wow, I bet that's got some of you ladies rethinking having your ears pierced, doesn't it? Paul used this word to describe himself and Timothy, though. John used it when he wrote the book of Revelation. He called himself, I'm a bondservant. He said, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his bondservants the things which must soon take place. He sent and communicated it to his angel, to his bondservant, John. You say, Pastor, why in the world would anyone choose to be a slave for life when they were free to go? Because then the master would be responsible to take care of their every need. That's why Paul would say in Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. See, I'm a slave by choice. God forgave me. He wiped away my debt. And now I willingly choose to follow him. Aren't you glad Jesus took away your sins? Where did he take them? He took them on his own body to pay the ultimate price for my forgiveness. In calling himself a bondservant, Paul was saying, there's no going back to the old life. I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. So this concept has to do with making Jesus the Lord of your life, and choosing willingly to serve him as your master. Then Paul went on in verse 2, and he said this, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. After Paul identifies himself as the author, and after he talks about who he's writing the letter to the saints, the overseers, and the servants, then he wishes them two things. What are they? First and foremost, he wishes them grace, God's ability in you to do for you what you can't do yourself. Grace changes everything. The most important thing you could ever wish someone is the grace of God. Grace is God's unmerited favor, something you don't deserve. It's God loving you and blessing you in spite of your performance, not because of it. It cannot be earned. It's a free gift from God. Not only are we saved by grace, not only are we healed by grace, but every day is a life that we live by grace. The second thing Paul wishes them after grace is he said, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now remember today, peace is not just the absence of conflict, Because if there's one thing we've been promised in this life is you will have conflicts. The adversary, the devil, he goes around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He comes, the Bible says, to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Remember what Jesus told his disciples when he began to talk about going back to the Father? The very first thing they started doing was being anxious, and he told them, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And in John 14, verse 27, he said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. We don't just have peace, we have his peace, the peace of God that passes all understanding. And that's what it says in Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. It's that divine power that allows us to be calm in the middle of the darkest trial that we're facing. That peace will guard your heart and your mind. It keeps you from panicking when life spins out of control. And like it says in Romans 8:28, in all things, God works for the good of those who are called according to his purpose. This is what Paul wishes for the church that was so dear to his heart. He wished them grace, God's unmerited favor, and he wished them peace, that calm assurance in spite of the circumstances. Let's look at the third verse now as we're making our way through here in Philippians chapter 1. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. Paul loved these people. He gave thanks to God for them, and he always prayed for them. He says when he prayed for them, he did it with joy. And what was it about the Philippians that brought joy to Paul when he prayed for them? Here it is. They partnered with him in the gospel. You know, friend, ministry is a partnership. It's not a one-man show. Even this program today, it's brought to you because some people partner with me and help me to do this ministry. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10, as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. See, when God adopted you into his family, he equipped you with special gifts to serve God and to serve your church family. Together we partner for the sake of the gospel. Now look at verse 6. Paul's going to say something special. All the soldiers here, and everyone else too, found out that I'm in jail because of this Messiah. That piqued their curiosity, and now they've learned all about him. That's from the Message translation. I love that. Now, where's Paul when he's writing this passage to the church at Philippi? He's in a jail. I've been there before, the Mamertine prison in Rome. I've been there where Paul actually wrote and penned these words, and it was such a holy place. He says all the soldiers here, and everyone else too, found out that I'm in jail because of this Messiah that piqued their curiosity, and now they've learned all about him. What's the principle here that Paul's teaching? Always look for the principle. The principle is what God begins, he always finishes it. In my most discouraging moments, in at times when I just don't even see how I'm going to make it through the storm, it's then that I have to realize God never ends anything on a bad note. He always resolves it, friend, and he'll come through for us each and every time. Philippians 1 and verse 6 needs to remind us God is not finished with us yet. Now look at verse 7. For it is only right for me to feel this way about you all, because I have you in my heart, since both in my imprisonment and in my defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers of grace with me. This is another verse that really highlights Paul's love for the Philippian people. And remember, he called them a partnership, and he said, I have you in my heart. Wow. Paul goes on now with verse 8, and he says, for God is my witness how I long for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. Man, just in case anyone doubted his sincerity, Paul calls God to the witness stand, and he says, as God is my witness, how I long for you all. And where does this love come from? It's the affection, he says, of Christ Jesus. What does that mean? It means when we surrender our lives to Christ, he puts his love inside of us, and that enables us to love even the unlovable with an affection that goes beyond just natural love. His love was sincere. Now in verse 9, Paul says, and this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. Paul's giving us a rare insight here into his own prayers. He said, this is how I'm praying for you. I'm praying for an increasing love. They had already partnered with him for 12 years in his ministry, and now he's praying that they may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. He wanted them to understand God's perfect will in their lives. Shouldn't that be a goal for all of us? God, help me understand your will for my life. Now look at verse 11. Filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. See, Paul wanted them to be fruitful. Notice the fruit that comes through Jesus Christ and not in ourselves. When a healthy tree is planted in good soil, it produces good fruit. And the end results are what? Praise and glory to God the Father. I love the book of Philippians. It's a book that teaches us that no matter what we're going through, no matter what we're facing, we can have an attitude of joy. Perhaps today you are facing some incredible obstacles in your life. Maybe you're going through physical infirmities in your body and sickness. Maybe you're facing a financial bind in your life and you'd say, Keith, I'm really struggling today. I want you to understand what we learned today from this first chapter of the book of Philippians. Number one, we learned that God is not finished with us yet. He who began a good work in us will see it through to its completion. God wants you to know that no matter what you're facing, grace and peace will get you through it. As we wind up this first chapter today, let us go back to the first verse and look at that concept one more time about bondservants. Paul said, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Christ Jesus. Do you serve God today just because you have a debt you owe him? Just because you've sinned in your life? Or do you serve him with the love from your heart because he gave you his mercy and grace and he forgave us all of our sins? I am a bondservant of Christ. As we make our way through the book of Philippians this week, you're going to see some great verses that you've perhaps heard for years that all of a sudden, when you see it in the context of Paul's writing to this church, it'll make so much sense to you. I love Philippians 4 when we get to the fourth chapter. That's where he tells us to rejoice in the Lord always, and he'll say it again, rejoice. And I love that, friend, because that's the joy is the thing that carries us in this life that is so filled with obstacles when we can rejoice in the Lord. Now, on tomorrow's program, we're actually going to pick up with verse 12 of chapter 1, and we're going to see this. We'll see how when Satan attacks us with his persecution and with his trials, they actually work out and they have a way of advancing the gospel. I've often said, what don't kill you makes you stronger. Whatever you're going through, the pain you feel today is the strength you're going to feel tomorrow. Thank you for joining me today on Fresh Oil, and we're going to be talking all week long this week from the book of Philippians, one of my favorite writings from the Apostle Paul. Friend, drop me a note this week. I'd love to hear from you if you're a listener, a regular listener of Fresh Oil, and just let me know you're listening to the program. That'll be a great encouragement. Go by WeNeedGod.com and drop me a line. God bless you, friend. He loves you.
Thanks for joining us today for Fresh Oil with Pastor Keith Manley. Fresh Oil is an outreach of Grace Family Church in Rockford, Illinois, and can be heard each weekday at this same time. You can reach us online at weneedgod.com. Until next time, remember, God's love for you is unconditional, and He makes His mercies new every morning.